Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to your favorite learning station, Radio Islam on Medium Wave 1548. Coming up next, inshallah, is the question and the answer program with Mufti Ilyas Hafizahullah, who is on the other side of the line. I would like to welcome Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rabbi Saab, jazakallah for the time, and it's wonderful talking to Mufti Saab after such a long absence. And we humbly apologize for the delay. Mufti Saab, we attended a janazah. Jazakallah.
Allah Ta'ala
grant him Jannat al-Firdaus. Amin, amin, amin. Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannat al-Firdaus. Alright, we go on further, inshallah. And this is a question and the answer program. Any questions you have, call us. The number to call is 011-854-1548. It's 011-854-1548. And the cell phone number to send you SMS questions is 082-580-8070. It's 082-580-8070. Well, some quite a few questions have already, alhamdulillah, come in. The first question is with regards to a musafir. The question states, what is the distance which one must be travelling in order to be regarded as a musafir?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Although our research states that it is 88.86 kilometers, however, the Board of Muftis, they have decided that it is 77 kilometers, and that we should respect the decision of the Board of Muftis and regard it as 77 kilometers.
All right, 77 kilometers. If a person raises a concern regarding hijab laws not adhered to with an organization and the co-requests a meeting to discuss the issue, what must be done?
The question is not very clear.
See, you're not too clear, Mufti Saab. Sorry for that.
Now there are various angles there. One is that any Muslim institution which is claiming to be Islamic in nature should strictly implement the laws and rules and regulations of hijab. Remember, every Muslim country is not Islamic. Every Muslim institute is not necessarily adopting the Islamic law. Yes, every effort should be made in those institutes which claim that they are Muslim or practicing Islam to implement basic fundamentals of Islam and the laws and rules and regulation of hijab, separation of gender. All these are simple, basic, fundamental laws which have to be adhered to.
Alright, Mr. Jazakallah. We go on further. The question states that I understand the brother says a hadith that drawings in Islam is prohibited, as the incident goes with the Nabi of Allah and his wife who was sewing some animal design on a cloth, and the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala asked her to stop. The brother wants to know the mas'ala with regards to drawings in Islam. What is permissible of Islam and what is not permissible?
Everything that has got a soul, you should not draw. And everything that has got no soul, then you may draw or photograph.
All right, Jazakallah. We go on further. We remind you this is a phone-in program. The number to call is 011-854-1548. And cell phone number to send your questions is 082-580-8070. A person, it says, will be judged only on the day of Qiyamah. Then why is the adab or torture given in the qabr to sinners? Given to sinners?
Let alone torture or adab given in the qabr, it is even meted out in this world also. At times, we see innocent Muslims being martyred and massacred, butchered, and we wonder what is happening. This is either that they are being elevated in status for Jannah, or purging of their whatever sins is being done on the surface of the earth. Now, Allah Jalla Majdahu wants us to come before Him in a pure state. So all this cleaning procedure is taking place. Sometimes we find righteous, pious personalities also in the towards the latter part of their life. They are undergoing numerous difficulties and trials and tribulations, ailments, diseases, and leads one to think, what is happening? There's nothing strange here. That inshallah that person's status is being risen. One. Secondly, we find that at times a person, he is not regular or in performance salat, is a transgressor in fact. He undergoes a lot of trial and tribulation. This is a way of purging, cleaning, cleansing also. So let alone the alam al barzakh, the grave, the cleaning procedure starts here. And physical punishment or disease which is visible or ailment that you can see is not only the punishment man undergoes. Because we know that a person can be mentally depressed, he can be sad, he can have so much mental trauma that this is a punishment in a way. As a result, that person gets cleaned, getting ready for further cleaning in the grave, so that he has got a good chance when standing before Allah Jalla Majdahu. So, inshallah, he will get Jannah and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alright, so jazakallah, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala save us all from the adab of the qadr. Alright, to go on further, Masala Christian states, a friend has committed a very serious sin. She and her boyfriend have committed zina, and in the event she fell pregnant, she then had an abortion at 2 months. They are both very depressed and sad at the event and fear that Allah will never forgive them. What is the ruling on abortion, and how are they able to repent and ask forgiveness for such an act of ignorance?
First of all, that they should weigh the situation carefully, analyze it, that how this resulted. That what avenues and circumstances led for the boy and the girl to meet. And this is not a rare occurrence, unfortunately. It is happening very regularly. That because of the age, the environment, because of the amenities of sin provided by the parents to the children, that boy is able to meet girl very easily. And the latest evil technology available also allows them to meet and also engage in this illicit relationship which brings the wrath of Allah Jalla Majdahu. Now that it has occurred, they should immediately forthwith separate, number one. Secondly, that individually seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that they should never ever go near such an action, and they should terminate all the causes that led to that evil act to be perpetrated.
Right.
Then also that they should consider marrying and do it the proper way. As far as abortion is concerned, they have done wrong, absolutely wrong, that done that action, darkness upon darkness, evil upon evil. It is no use posing a question, what is the legalities of option, trying to legalize their evil actions. So all what they have done tantamounts to sin upon sin. Seek forgiveness, separate, and also close all doors which lead to future sin.
Right.
But Allah Jalla Majdahu is all forgiving. Definitely. If they do the forgiveness and engage in proper tawbah, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim, merciful, compassionate, and He will forgive them. There is no such thing that they have to go and confess the sin in front of anybody, or there is no such thing that they would not be forgiven. provided they are sincere in their repentance, Allah, inshallah, will forgive them.
Ameen, ameen. Allah forgive us all. All right, so some of the questions state, many SMS questions coming through. The question says, if you see a dead person in a dream trying to tell you something, what does this dream signify?
If you tune in again, maybe you're not picking up the signals properly. This is a Q&A program, not dream interpretation program. Then the person, you should give out some sadaqah for that person and make dua for that person. Most of the time, these dreams denote that the person is in requirement of gifts from the people who are still alive. So do that.
Yes.
Gifts, if you cannot do monetary contributions, charity on that person's behalf, do nawafil ibadat and make isha alayhi sawab for that person.
Ameen. Jazakallah, we go on further. The number to call is 011-854-1548. And we do have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Hello, G.
Assalamu alaikum from Mufti Sabosa. Mulana Kara, I'd like to ask you a question, please. Is that okay? Hello?
Hello, G. Sister, can you just speak a little louder?
Mulana Kara, I want to ask you a question. You after Asr Namaz, the dua, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So it hasn't got Karima and Karima like you always say. So I'd just like to know whether you must read that or you read it according to the kitab.
So say you're talking about the durood to be recited on the Friday after Asr Salah.
Yes, after Asr Salah. It hasn't got Karima and Karima because I always see you mention that.
All right, Jazakallah for that. All right, sister.
Now, I'd like to know, must you read that word, or is it just okay you reading it from the kitab the way it is said there?
Read it the way it is, sister. All right, Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. All right, the number to call is 854-1548. The question states, can my wife call me Nana? The grandchildren also call me Nana, what is that?
Permissible.
Yes. All right, Jazakallah. This one says it's from a brother, he's 23 years old. He says, I want to ask, is it allowed in Islam for males to cut their eyebrows because I have white hairs on my eyebrows?
You should be happy that white hair is appearing on your face. One muhaddis, scholar of hadith, when he passed away, then someone saw him in a dream, asked him what happened. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala felt because of my white hair and age, he forgave me.
Subhanallah.
So, people these days get a little embarrassed and shy away from white hair. White hair denotes, alhamdulillah, maturity of mind and also is a cause for forgiveness. Inshallah, that will be a good cause for the angels making dua for that person and also it will prevent him from evil sin and going to the wrong places. So do not regard white eyebrows that you can cut it. No, leave it. And that will enhance the beauty of man.
All right, Jazakallah. So the question states, from a brother or sister, that we are trying to have kids. What is the best to read for Allah's help and to conceive? Make dua Allah, make it easy for us. Allah Ta'ala grant him lots of children.
Inshallah, that we should first of all not be despondent.
Jee.
And we should not be despondent of the mercy of Allah Jalla Majdahu. And keep making dua, make effort. Also read 2 rakat Salatul Hajat daily, at least once a day. Plead before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Also, if in your family you have got ulama ikram, then write to them, speak to them, ask them to make dua for you, and from both the male side and the female side, they should contact their ulama ikram, not necessarily some very big peer or anybody. Just contact the local imam, the molana, ask them, inshallah, make dua, and you make the effort, have patience, most important, and rely on taqdeer, that Allah decides, and Allah is the best of deciders. And unfortunately, one of the trials in this age, that as predicted and prophesied in the Ahadith, people are going to deny Taqdeer, destiny, and regard Allah as all wise. That He, some people He's giving them a lot of children, some He's giving them one or none. So regard the wisdom of Allah as to reign supreme. Have this aqidah, and then you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with you, and you will be also content with the life that Allah is giving you.
Subhanallah. So, JazakAllah for the wonderful words of wisdom, Mufti Sahab, saying, make dua, sabr, and not forgetting the effort as well, Mufti Sahab. Alright. Going on further, the number to call is 854-1548. The question states, when I was writing an examination, I promised to give sadaqah if I passed. However, I forgot the amount because I lost the paper. How much must I give?
Very easy to calculate that. Because you are a person who knows your financial standing. Meaning that, let us say that you are writing exam and your allowance per month is 100 rand. Obviously, you are not going to say, I'm going to give 1 million rand. You are going to say, I'm going to give 50 rand. You are going to think as per the allowance that you got, because you are going to be limited by that allowance. So try to give the maximum of your possibility. Then, inshallah, you'll be covered.
Inshallah. Alright, we have a column. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Mulana, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you? I was actually waiting for a call.
Alhamdulillah. Mulana, I have about 3 questions, if you would permit me.
Jay, go ahead. Even if it's 5, it's fine, brother.
Jazakallah. My first question is, would it be, is it an Islamic custom to buy for a groom to buy a wedding ring for the bride?
Okay.
That's the first question. The second question is, to call on anyone who cannot answer your prayers, for example, a wali or a deceased person, will that be tantamount to worshipping that person? And will it be permissible in Islam?
All right.
Third question is Mufti Sahab, please tell me if it's correct that if we do not ask anyone for anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then paradise is guaranteed for that person.
All right.
My next question is, would it be correct to say that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His attributes, since we do not know His form?
Okay.
And just the last one, here in KwaZulu-Natal, posters are out for Muslim for Life. It's sort of like a concert, although they don't put the word concert on the poster, but specify very clearly that there'll be separate seating for men and women. But the singers will be in full view of the woman.
Okay.
Now, using the name of Islam, will it be permissible for us to attend such a function?
All right.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah. Any other question, brother?
No, shukran.
All right. Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Yes. Bishop, got the question?
I hope you're right,
Inshallah, ji.
Okay, let's go. Let's try, inshallah.
All right.
First of all, it is permissible to buy a wedding ring, but not with a view of imitation of the kuffar. And this should not be done with rigid regularity. Or it should not be done that it has to be a must. If there is amicability, compatibility, and also understanding the pros and cons of the financial situation, the availability, and there is no official fuss being made about it, then room for permissibility exists. These days, unfortunately, before the actual nikah or wedding, then the future husband and future wife, they are allowed to go to the jewelers to choose ring, etc., and they are allowed to go and to do this activity alone. Absolutely haram, that is, not permissible. And to give the wife a gift of a ring is permissible.
Permissible. Right, Jazakallah. So, with regards to calling unto a pious person, he wants to know, is it tantamount to shirk?
See, we should understand something, that usage of wasila, meaning intermediary. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Ali, for example, is of the opinion that you do a good action and raise your hands and say to Allah Jalla Majdahu that, Ya Allah, I have done this good action, due to the good action accept my dua. That is permissible. Then other a'imma are of the opinion that you can do or make wasila via the Anbiya alayhi salam, awliya ikram, but the wording should be like this, that Ya Allah, accept my dua through the good actions of certain person. Now you mentioned that pious person's name, and obviously it will be a renowned, reputed, undisputed pious person. Our logic runs in this manner, that one, it is permissible to make dua using the good deeds as an intermediary for the acceptance of your dua of the Anbiya alayhi salam. But we are the, from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam, and we have got the best Nabi, the last Nabi, the highest Nabi, with we are the followers of. So we should be making dua, if you are to use wasila, that Ya Allah, accept our dua through the wasila of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam. So we presenting the best wasila in front of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam, although to utilize the other wasilas will be permissible. However, where it tantamount to shirk, at times, let alone tantamount, it is shirk when people go to the graves of pious, or when they are in difficulty, then they call directly onto the saint, which they hold in high esteem, and then they call saint or sahaba or anbiya directly, and think and hold a belief which is corrupted, that these saints or anbiya can help them in the time of difficulty. That is erroneous, fallacious, shirk, clear shirk, that is.
Right.
So we should definitely abstain from calling other than Allah Jalla Majdahu.
Yes, sir. All right, Jazakallah. So the answer to the third question?
The brother was talking about, is it true that if you do not call anyone besides Allah Jalla Majdahu, then you will go direct to paradise, to Jannah? Yeah, there is a very lengthy hadith about this. And it talks about two activities there. One is those who will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah Jalla Majdahu when the sun will be so low that everyone will be swimming in their own sweat. On that day, there'll be about seven people who will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah. Obviously, when you are under the shade of arsh of Allah, you are going to go to Jannah. And one of them is that person who called directly to Allah Jalla Majdahu.
Subhanallah. Was that the answer to the other question?
Okay, I presume you did not write. So, let's see. Attributes. Brother was talking about attributes.
I was coming to them.
The worship of Allah Jalla Majdahu via his attributes. See, that we worship Allah and Allah alone. And we worship the Zat of Allah, and it is not part of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat to understand the quality, quantity, shape, size of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, to inquire about that, according to Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, is an innovation. So we understand Allah by his attributes. We do not worship his attributes.
So final question, may I just say the question first? It says, with regards to the concert Muslims for Life, you know, the separate seating for men and ladies, but the singers will be in full view of both male and female. He wants to know can they attend?
Previously also, I think the brother, because I understand he, where he's coming from, from KZN, previously also there was such a concert held, and it was held in Durban. And the report that reached us totally proved that that function is a complete hoax, and it is very far away from Islam, and the so-called reciters and performers, they were dressed atrociously, and they were actually jiving and dancing and beating their feet and they're clapping their hands and performing like how the enemies of Islam perform, whilst so-called reciting the nazams and naats and etc. This is a mockery of deen. One should never ever go near such functions, nor support them, nor advertise for them, nor sell their tickets, nor aid them in any way whatsoever. These are the spoilers of Islam who initiate such functions. And those who perform there, they should be listed and blacklisted. And the public and the radio station should not play those tapes and cassettes and those recitals of those people who go and perform on stage there, because they are transgressors, they are evildoers. And to promote the recitations and recitals and their performances, even by so-called Muslim radio stations, is not good. We should draw lines who we are promoting.
Right.
And there is one simple rule that when a pious person reads a nazam or a naat, it has an effect. And when a transgressor does so, no matter how melodious or good sounding it is, it has a temporary, fleeting, non-effective, no spiritual effect on the heart.
All right. Mr. Jazakallah for the wonderful answers. All right, Mr. The question states, is it permissible to kiss the forehead of the mayyat if it is your father?
Permissible to do so.
Permissible, Jazakallah. The question states from a sister, I still have birth hair of my infant daughter who passed away recently. Is it all right for me to keep them, she says?
No, you should not keep them. This will bring sadness in your life, depression, anxiety, and also you will never come to terms with the fact that you have lost the child. Do not keep the hair, dispose of it, bury it, and do not even know where the burial took place.
Definitely.
Give it to some person, tell him, go and dispose of it, and bury it. And you yourself should not know where the hair has been buried.
JazakAllah. Yes, Allah has taken it, and Allah knows best His wisdom in doing so. And may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make her infant daughter a means of intercession for her and the family on the day of Qiyamah. Allah grant them sabr jameel. But this other question states, the significance of the Bibi Maryam flower that is put in water at the start of labor.
First of all, I hear you of this. If it is from Amaliyah or from those who issue tawizes, then if they are reading something on the water and just putting a flower for decoration, then that water will be permissible to drink. However, there are a lot of customs and rituals that if they find it is related to some baseless activity, and sometimes it is related to some denomination or cult, or sometimes it is related to some religious group, and then we should definitely abstain. At the moment, the clear ruling will be that please abstain from those activities which have got no basis or substantiation in the clear, pristine, divine deen of Allah Jalla Majdahu.
All right, JazakAllah. So we go on further. The question states, do we have a caller? Yes, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Jee, brother, your question to Mufti Sam?
Thanks. regarding the Oasis and Al Baraka Equity Trust, on the Majlis pamphlet, they totally outlawed. Now, the last time Mufti Saab gave a little speech regarding Oasis, but he wasn't too positive or negative regarding Al Baraka.
Okay. Let's see what Mufti Saab have to say. Brother, you listen on the radio. Jazakallah wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Mufti Saab, Oasis and Al Baraka Equity Trust. Your comments.
First of all, the Majlis, due respect to Hazrat Maulana, he is adopting an extremely cautious view. We are of the opinion clearly that Oasis has not provided any ulama of repute or renown with the proper information that we require in order for us to make a classification. As a result, we are very clear with our statement that we cannot verify or testify to its halal status or to its shari status, or we cannot encourage people to participate in the Oasis activities.
Yeah.
They are not transparent. They are not giving us the proper valid information. Also, they do not have a local alim of repute or a local mufti on board. Because I am very clear in my opinion about businesses, that if you are a businessman and you got a turnover of 1 million rand a month, then you should have one alim on board. Because if you have got a turnover of 1 million rand, you can afford to pay one alim, and inshallah, that alim, initially he may not know the laws of buying and selling, but because he'll be on site, he will learn automatically and open Kitabul Buyu and start learning. Or as far as Al Baraka is concerned, they are trying to be transparent, and also they have got local ulama on board, and they are testifying to the validity of their shari contracts. So on the lighter side, that yes, transact and pass the sawab to those molanas who are on board. However, there is one rule. If we have to look at any institute which is claiming shari compliancy, if we have to look at it with a magnifying glass, minutely, then sadly enough, nothing will be permissible.
All right, Mr. Jazakallah for that. We go on further. We have another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jesus.
My question for our respected Mufti is, what is the correct method of removing nazar for a child? Because in my community, I've heard of incidences where people throw oil and water in a jar and then they put salt and chilies and they cut through it with a knife. Is this advisable to do, or is it correct? Jazakallah.
She respected Mufti Sam.
Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, Al-Ainu Hakkun, that the evil eye is truthful. That means there is reality in it, and it is effective. So we should take our necessary precautions. Now, there are certain ayat which are proven that if we read them, inshallah, nazar can be removed. Say first is the Mu'azzatain, the last two kuls of the Quran Kareem, that if you recite that and blow upon the person who has got nazar, firstly, that you have to diagnose whether there is nazar. Then you can treat for nazar. Just as a marginal comment, that the baby generally who has got nazar will not look at the mother and will cry in a shrieking manner and will not want to participate in any food taking or will not want to take any milk. And also, the baby will be crying and without any medical cause. Then recite the two kuls, or at times there are certain methods. For example, some use chilies and some use the smoke of the chilies, some recite or the, as the question caller stated about the oil and the water. As long as the kalimat and the activities have got nothing to do with shirk or blasphemous wordings, then it will be permissible to use the method to remove the nazar. For an elderly person to make out the person has got nazar is very simple. That to describe the person's face, if you are traveling in the back of a vehicle and all of a sudden someone tells you that lower your head, there is a branch on the road. So you lower your head to avoid the branch. And then when you pick up your head, your face is all red and flushed up and red moving towards yellow. That face shows that the person is affected by nazar. There are a lot of signs that you can make out a person has got nazar. However, that any method used to remove nazar has to be free from blasphemous words or activities.
Jazakallah for that. So I'm just a bit on the lighter side, thinking of our brother Marhum Ayyub, who passed away. We performed his janazah 8:30. You know, there was a father who came to the radio station a couple of months ago, working at the radio station as well. So he says his child's got a fever. So Brother Ayyub comes along and he says, you know what, I think... Now the father says possibly the child's got nazar. So Ayyub, Brother Ayyub, tells him that no, we think the father's got nazar, and the best thing for you is to walk around a chili plantation 7 times. Allah grant in Jannat. Very Masin. Alright, so we go on further. The number to call is 011-854-1548. Cell phone number to send your questions is 082-580-8070. Alright, the question says, just would like to know, what is the harms of wasting salt? Because some people say you have to pick it up with your eyelashes on the day of Qiyamah.
As far as picking it up with the eyelashes, that has not been adequately substantiated. Maybe the ladies said that statement so that they could preserve salt, or at that time the area, locality, females or males were careless about utilizing your salt. Any food item, any boon and favor of Allah, be it water, salt, food, bread, any food item, we should not abuse. We should respect and we should honor, and we should think about those who do not even have a pinch of salt in their homes.
Yes. Alright, Jazakallah, sir. Can you buy somebody a gift on condition that that person also buys you a gift later? It says, buy him a prem on condition that he buys you a prem when you get a baby.
No such thing. You should not entertain such a transaction, and you should not vouch for such a transaction. This is a hiba, a gift with a condition attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be definitely not valid. And although that first transaction, as far as the transaction will be, that will be the transaction will be permissible. But that whole concept is a totally un-Islamic. And one should definitely abstain from such a batil, invalid precondition.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to receive the facts earlier, Mukhtasar. The facts got four questions. The first one says, an announcement was made at the masjid that the locals should rather perform wudu at home because the electricity bills are running at a high. Please enlighten us on this regard.
As far as wudu at the masjid, the wudu khana at the masjid, previously I have stated very clearly that the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this hadith is in various books of ours recorded with its reference. One is virtues of wuzu, secondly is basic laws of the masjid, and the other one is virtues of masjid, wherein it is stated, the meaning of the hadith is, a person who performs wuzu at home and goes to the masjid is like one who has adorned the ihram and going and proceeding towards the masjid. So can you imagine how much of sawab will that person obtain when he makes wuzu at home and goes to the masjid? Number one. Secondly, that as South Africans and maybe other countries which are also listening, we are spoiled that we have got excellent wuzu facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not want to use our own home facilities willfully, purposefully, but we go and use the masjid facilities. Whereas there is no sawab in using the masjid toilet, that you will get more reward because the toilet is near the masjid. No such thing. Thirdly, that the wuzu khana and toilet facilities of the masjid, these are for emergencies. These are not the standard rule. And the brothers of my locality, currently we are staying in Rainsworth, but we should be moving soon from here to Ridgeway. But we are quite regular in Salat. In our stay here for about 15 years, I must have used the wuzu facilities for about 3 or 4 times.
Yes,
so we should be, first of all, a Muslim must be constantly in the state of wuzu. Hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has classified wuzu as a weapon and a shield of a Muslim.
Hmm.
Once a person is in wuzu, then maybe the next point will help people. If you want barakah and you want wide provision, meaning you want wusat in your rozi, you want a wide sustenance, then stay in wuzu, you'll see the result. So that imam has not done wrong. He's encouraging it. So he should have brought the hadiths and not spoken about the electricity bill, etc.
All right. Jazakallah for that answer. We go on further. Is it, okay, with regards to papers containing Quran Kareem ayat, is it permissible to burn it?
As a last resort, it is permissible to burn it.
Alright, Jazakallah. Coming to the SMS's many questions, it says, Mawlana, if a couple married for a few years and don't share anything. Alright, let's take our call first. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah ji.
I just want to know, what is the purpose of burning Luban?
Purpose of burning Luban?
Si.
Alright, any other question?
No, Jazakallah.
Alright, Mufti Saab will respond, Ben. Jazakallah, Assalamu Alaikum. Mufti Saab, burning Luban?
There is no Islamic religious significance of it. And at times, people hold certain beliefs attached to it. And according to some religious faiths, that when the sun sets, they burn a light in the house. Now, this has been partially carried forward in a modified manner, that in certain Muslim homes, that when the sun set, unfortunately, instead of making Maghrib Salat, they burn Loban. And, however, if a person burns Loban for perfume, fragrance, nice smelling, and for a valid Sharia reason, it is permissible. But we have associated burning of Loban, that when you burn Loban, that house will be free from jinnat and jadu, etc. This is an erroneous belief. We should get rid of this belief, and we should not hold fast to this fallacious activity.
All right. Without coming to the question, it says, if a couple married for a few years and don't share anything as a couple, what's the Shari'at ruling on this?
First of all, they are still husband and wife.
Hmm.
The marriage has not broken down. Their nikah is still in care, attacked. However, that they should go in for counseling, that why this activity is taking place wherein they are not living together, staying together, and being close together. So there's something drastically wrong from either, and definitely both of the parties. So they should be go to crisis center, go to helpline, go to the Jamiat, resolve whether they want to divorce or carry on with the life, because they should fundamentally decide whether they want to make a house or break, and then go forward.
Gee.
The current situation is not conducive to harmony, cooperation, love, affectionate, and it will earn the displeasure of Allah.
Gee. Allah grant thee Muhammad. Alright, the number to call is 0118541548. Mufti Saab, can we go for another few minutes?
You said there were 4 questions on your...
Gee. I'm coming to them, sir.
Okay.
All right. Can we go for another 7 to 8 minutes? Jazakallah, sir. All right, the question states, is it advisable to advertise and read this Sunday Times? What's Mufti Saab's advice on this?
I've previously commented on this, that as far as these newspapers are concerned, these are tabloids, and they want to express their views, which are mostly concocted, and these are the mechanisms of the enemies of Allah, which are deployed and employed and utilized to indoctrinate the Muslims in a particular method of thinking. Rather, unfortunately, that we as Muslims do not have alternative proper media information dissemination centers or mechanisms in place, be it a or visual or audio or printed matter. And we should be looking in all directions so that we can get the right message across. Currently, the enemies of Islam control all the mediums and all the propaganda. They print and make us read what they want us to read. They make us see what they want us to see. They make us hear what they want us to hear. A good Muslim will not be purchasing and enhancing financially these tabloids, irrespective whether it is post or prior to the printing of cartoons or not.
All right. So, JazakAllah for that. We go on further. The number to call is 854-1548. Alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab has agreed for another 10 minutes. All right, you can call us. We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Are you talking to me now?
Ji, talking to you.
Hello.
Hello, Ji. A question, brother, for Mufti Saab?
Wa alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
For Mufti Saab, I have a question, yes, please.
Go ahead.
I want to know, for clarification, is all music categorically haram? Alright? All music haram.
Okay.
But in your answer, I would like you to give me any quote from the Hadith or from the Quran, you know, to support this argument. If music is haram, to support it. If music is not haram, to support that as well. The reason why I'm saying from the Quran or from the Hadith is because, you know, a lot of people, if you ask them this question today, then they tell you either it's haram or not, but they won't tell you why they say it's haram, or they won't tell you why they say it's not haram. Because we have a lot of people sitting on both sides of the fence. You know, there are a lot of people that listen to music, they listen to Sama Qawwali, and they say, for because it's holy music, it's not haram. Meanwhile, on the other side, we've got people on the other side of the fence that are saying that all music is categorically haram. That is why I'm saying, in the answer, please, if you can, support from the Quran or Hadith, because I feel that is, you know, authentic and that is acceptable. And also, I'll be able to check it up, and if I check it up, then that knowledge becomes my own. If anybody asks me the question in future, I'll be able to answer them as well. You know what? Support.
All right.
I won't just say some Molana told me that. I'll be able to go look it up in the Quran, that verse number, in the Hadith, that number. You know, so on.
All right, brother. Brother, can you just leave us your details? Inshallah, we'll fax you also some other information. All right, Mufti Saab will respond to this question. Jazakallah, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Mufti Saab.
I think that question, I will not get it clear. I think you want to know about something about music, isn't it?
Gee.
Okay. First of all, that go to my website, alislam.co.za. Download one whole book. It's called Music in Islam.
All right.
And the brother, I do appreciate that he wants quotations from Quran and Ahadith.
Gee.
And he also wants the legal argument about Sima and Qawwali, etc. Everything in that small booklet has been discussed. Original is by Mufti Sayyid Abdul Jalil, Dawud Barakatuhum, Sheikh al-Hadith of Darulum Camperdown, and the relative ayats. Generally, those ayats which refer to Lahu wa Lahab, all are implied there. Then, for quick, there is a clear hadith in Bukhari that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that one of the signs of the day of the hour will be increasing music. And also, there's a very valuable booklet written by Majlisul Ulama called Musical Instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So try to source that also. And the ayat and the ahadith, numerous ahadith, are in that booklet. The brother can read it. The references, minute references are there. And then he can pass it on. And also, Mawlana Kara will fax him something.
Inshallah. Jazakallah Jalla for that. We go on further, inshallah, a few minutes left. Number to call is 854-1548. What about throwing and wearing items with butterflies and bugs?
Well, it does not look like butterflies and can be construed to be something else, then it is permissible. And nowadays, the ulama are a bit lenient as far as when there can be a different interpretation or a different reading to what has been drawn.
All right. So, I have a question from some international country. The question states that in which conditions can women work, and what is Multisab's advice with regards to women who work, who want to work?
Allah Jalla Majdahu, He is our creator, our darisha, our provider, our Rabb. Allah has created us. Allah knows our temperament. Allah knows our mentality. Allah knows our potentiality and capacities. Allah Ta'ala knows the role for women and the role for men. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given the men certain responsibilities and the female certain responsibilities. Allah Jalla Majdahu clearly states Ar-Rijaluna Qawwamuna 'ala An-Nisa, that men are supervisors over females, and men are caretakers over females, and men are guardians over females. And men are the well-wishers of the females. And men are the metaphorical financial provider of the females. Allah Ta'ala does not want to burden a soul more than he can carry. La yukallahu nafsan illa usaha. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made the biological condition of the man separate to the female. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has not burdened the female with clear injunctions. We get in the ahadith that for females, Juma is not obligatory, janaza not obligatory, jihad not obligatory. Why must we make things difficult? So when Allah has not made it difficult, why must we put responsibilities upon the females who are supposed to be treated with ease and comfort and provided for? It is astonishing that the enemies of Islam, who say that Islam is not progressive and Islam is oppressing the woman, but the enemies of Islam have turned the woman into merchandise, and they've turned the woman into financial goods, and they've turned the woman into commercial slaves, and they've turned the woman into drivers, into workers, and housewives, and also mothers. And they want the woman to be a woman, housewife, secretary, clerk, air hostess, steward, and also bear the children, bring them up in all the conditions, and also satisfy their husbands, and still tell them, no, we are elevating your status. And unfortunately, the female thinks that, oh, our status is being risen. So definitely, we are saying, educate your women, but do not burden them with responsibilities. The men are shirking their responsibilities by making the females work.
All right. So, JazakAllah for that. Are there limits to telling the truth or speaking up against wrongdoing if one fears trouble?
As per your capacity of forbearing the results of your statements of enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil, you will be accounted for. But however, that you should not be a coward, a total coward, in front of open oppression and tyranny. However, if you feel that the opposite party is not going to listen to you, but humiliate you or disgrace you, and will shun the message of the Anbiya, then it is advisable to seek a better opportunity. And if you feel that your statement is going to make a difference, then say it. And if you feel that your statement is going to lead you into some unnecessary, uncalled for trouble which you cannot bear, then keep quiet, feel hurt about it, and make dua.
Amen. All right, so we've gone further. Can a male shave the hair on his arm and chest?
Permissible to do so.
All right. Is it permitted for a Muslim non-married lady to speak to a non-mahram over the phone?
Under dire circumstances, permissible.
Right.
However, voices have to be controlled. Voices have to be firm, stern, hard, not luring and not attracting and not misleading the sentiments, emotions or the heart.
All right. So the question is that what about music CDs, selling music CDs in the shop? Permissible or not?
Not permissible.
Not permissible, Jim. All right. What about third-party insurance on motor vehicles?
Temporary, permissible.
All right. Can one teach a non-Muslim the kalima even if he is not yet ready to accept Islam?
Why you want to teach him? If he's not ready to accept Islam, what you will teach him the kalima and do?
Jim. All right. Can you break your salah to protect your shoes if it has been stolen?
Fuqaha have stated that. That is the value of property. And that is why we are stating for stability in any locality, there has to be protection of iman, life, property, intellect, that is akal, and also chastity, honor, dignity.
All right. So we go on further. It says, what's more rewarding, to give 20,000 rands as sadaqah for building one complete masjid, or to give 1,000 rands for 20 different masjid building structures, which one will earn the most reward?
It will be on the situation where the masjid is. There are certain areas, for example, who claim that they are very affluent community, and they are wealthy people there. And they boast that our community is upper class. And they, if they are putting a masjid, and you are to give 20,000, then you consider there may be another area where the people are not so wealthy, financially bereft, and they do not have the means, then take your 20,000 to where the financial resources are at its lowest ebb. So your 20,000, inshallah, will be more valuable where it is required. It is on demand, takaza, requisite. Where the demand is greater, God give it there.
I mean, Allah reward him for his contributions. And maybe he can just leave a small amount for myself and Mufti Sahib. Sir, this one with regards to nikah and talaq, it says, is there any right way or any method that a couple can get back together after three talaqs are over? Because they still love each other and they just don't want to marry anybody else. Please advise what to do.
How they can love each other when he gave three talaqs? Very strange this is. That person, he says he loves his wife, he gave her three talaqs. However, now it's a long procedure. She has to get married. The consummation of the marriage has to take place. And then that person has to give a talaq. And then she has to sit for complete iddat of three menstruation periods. Then she can come back to her first husband. This whole procedure, you know, Shari terminology is called halala. And they should not pre-plan it.
Jazakallah. After passing urine toilet, was maaf, not the last 2 to 3 minutes, we over time. But I enjoy talking to Mufti Sahib.
Jazakallah.
Alright, after passing urine, toilet paper is used to make istinja and due to no water. Is one park and one again one perform salah?
Provided that all the urine, all the liquid, the fluid has been properly removed, wiped out properly, completely, then one may regard and consider oneself as has utilized a stone, and that would be park.
All right. Mr. Jazakallah, we come to the end of today's Q&A question and answer program. Was there any final nasihat advice from Mufti Sahib side?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That the brother who posed the questions concerning the masajids and utilizing the facilities of the masajids, that we should realize that these are amenities and these are not there to be used on a daily, regular basis. And if we now educate ourselves, that inshallah we will utilize these facilities as per need and requirement, and not that we have to, because we are regular in Salat, utilize the toilet and the wuzu facilities, but we should be using it whenever we are in trouble, or when the wuzu breaks, or you came from a journey and now you have to utilize the toilet and wuzu facilities. But once we are in our own localities, the thawab is so tremendous. And a Muslim's purpose in life must be that how can I reap rewards? And it's such a reward that a person is like what was adorned Ihram. And also another hadith states clearly that one sin falls off and one of his status increases. So there are numerous rewards of making wuzu at home and proceeding for salat. As far as the music concerned, that there is the references, the hadith is clear that a person who listens to music, it is food for hypocrites. Another hadith is that if you knew the azab, the punishment of listening to music, you will prefer they pour hot molten lead in your ears. So may Allah Ta'ala save us and protect us and grant us the ability to do the right thing.
Jazakallah for the wonderful program. We've learnt a great deal. Your full reward, inshallah, with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. May Allah grant us good health, afiyat, long life and prosperous life. And request from Mufti Sahib's du'as as well.
You are the readers, you are the listeners also. Jazakallah.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.